Let's turn first of all to one short verse in Nehemiah, the last half of verse 5. I've got it slightly wrong in the bulletin, and verse 6. And then we'll go to Psalm 50. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise your holy name for this time, this reading, these words. May you get all the praise and glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. And before I forget, Andre and Sabrina, what you sent through, I said on the email, that thing about the, I've only got partway through it, but that on your phone looks quite good. It looks quite good. They're doing a, what is it again, teachings or, no, not so much teachings, how about the feasts on their phone. And it comes up like that shape on the, and I clicked on it too on the computer. So got little pictures down the side and click on them and it goes to the different areas. It's quite good. I haven't got all the way through yet, but it'll take me a little bit. So praise the Lord. Chapter 9. And these people said, arise and bless the Lord, your God, forever and ever. O may your glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens and the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you give life to them all, and the heavenly hosts bow down before you. Amen. And if we go to Psalm 50, I opened the Bible this morning and read this one, verse 1 to 6, Psalm 50. The mighty one God, the Lord, has spoken, and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and is every temperance around him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge his people. Gather my godly ones to him, to me, those who have made a covenant with me, my sacrifice. Amen. Amen. I was watching the story of Mother Teresa again last night. And it made me stop to think a little bit more about what I'd already written in the bulletin. And it really made me stop and think. I think I have some repenting to do because I've learned from the Lord and I've forgotten those teachings. I've learned from the Lord how to trust in him, and I don't suppose, and I don't think I trust in him enough today that I had to once before. But in the Word of God, it says here that we need to praise him in all things. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Amen? Everything and utterly everything. And in Job, the devil says to God, God says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Well, I felt the Lord is saying, have you considered your God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Have you considered me, says the Lord? I've written, not at length, but a little bit about the I in society. The I in society has taken over. Even yesterday I heard on the sports news, it's every person for themselves. The world has turned into a place of I, and just in case you don't get it, I. Nothing for anybody. When I started work, it was very seldom people moved from jobs. But today I'm told it's 3 to 5 years before people move from their work to another place of work. Everything is about the individual. But what about God himself? The songs we had this morning covered God, our Father, whatever name you want to give to him. It covered the Holy Spirit in capital letters. And it covered Yeshua. All the songs our Lord, the Trinity, was covered in that area. To me, it is the most important aspect of our belief. Somebody said the other day they want to know, be sure of what they believe. Don't we all? Don't we all? You see, it all starts out where in Genesis 1:2, the Holy Spirit hovered over the seas. Hovered over the seas. God spoke. God spoke. And things happened. How would you like to have been standing on a little piece of ground somewhere on the earth 6,000 years ago and seeing what happened before your eyes? God spoke and it happened. Amen? I'll just pick this up. I hadn't seen this before. Miraculously cured from cerebral palsy. How can that happen? God spoke. I will heal this little girl. And she's healed. And we are created in the image of God, it says in Genesis chapter, near the end of chapter 1 of Genesis. God is spirit, says the word of God in John 4. God is spirit. The Holy Spirit is obviously spirit. So what image are we made in of? Obviously then we must be made in the image of the only one who walked the earth, and that is Yeshua himself. Adam and Eve were made in that image, the image that he was going to be shown to us later. So yes, they were all there. But what happened? The I came into it. The I want to eat this. It's so destructive. So destructive. Whereas yet when the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:19, he's taught through the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:13. We pray through the Spirit, 1:14-15. We walk by the Spirit, in Galatians 5:16. God is spirit, God is love, God is all things. Have we ever stopped to consider him for 5 minutes? 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute? Have we ever stopped to consider him and his needs in our lives? I thank you, Maggie, for that word this morning about the love. I've told you before, I've experienced God's love surrounding me literally, purposely, for 2 or 3, 4 minutes at a time. And you can't stand up through that love. You can hardly stand up in that love. It's so overpowering. Take it away, Lord. It goes, you want to come back again. You want to feel that love. That's the love that he died on the cross that we have replaced with I. We have replaced with I. I want. I need. I come first. The world has replaced him, placed the God that loved the world so much that he gave his son. Have you ever heard we all heard the term, was it I before E, except after C? Well, what about this one? He before I, when coming after C. He before I, when coming after Christ, when following Christ. All right? He is before I in all things at all times. There is only accountability in God, but not in I. There is no accountability in I, but there's always accountability to God. I was thinking this morning, and I was thinking, it's a bit like the poor pastor. He's a ball in a pinball machine. You ever play a pinball machine? And it gets about just about 3/4 of the way up, and it goes between those two big wheels. And you go, drrrr. And when it's had enough, it drops to the bottom. And there's a lever down there, and God pushes that lever, and it goes, bang, and shoots you back up into the middle of it all again. He said, no, I'm not finished with you yet. Get on with the job. That's a bit like how pastors feel. Because you got all these eyes wanting to go their way. But you see, one thing as I see about being a pastor is I need to keep focused on what the Lord has given me. It doesn't mean to say that you have to follow what I think. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I've got to keep my focus on what the Lord has directed me to. Because if I don't, a person comes and I teach this. Another person comes and I teach Solomon. And another person and I teach Solomon in Egypt. But you know what the old story of Solomon? He had to follow all his wives, didn't he? And to finish, he had all these foreign things. I'm not saying for people not to study this or study that, but please don't expect the pastor to always be diving off left, right, center, fourth, blah, 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 blah. I get tired of being a pinball machine, right? Because God is love, and that's what I want to focus on. It doesn't matter to me, really, in some ways. It does, and it flows, but it doesn't matter to me as long as I am ready for when the Lord walks through the door and says, it's time for you to come to me. That's what I believe our focus should be. On that love of God that comes. He's come into the world and he just takes hold of people. Like people like Mother Teresa. And many others, thousands of others like her that have helped the poor and the needy. Helped the rich like they did in SAM ministries and South American ministries. The Lord told them to go to the rich because they were complaining they had no money to help the poor. So the Lord said, go to the rich. They need you. They need me just as much as the poor do. Amen? Yet we seem to ignore them. We seem to ignore them. And they went to the rich. And the rich came to the Lord. And guess what happened? They gave to the poor. Surprise, surprise. The I disappeared out of their minds and he came in. And unless we allow the I to disappear, the he cannot come. We cannot look upon God. We cannot look upon him. We read that in Moses, don't we? With God's help, we should be trying to be more like him, though. We should be more like him. In Leviticus 15 or somewhere it says, be holy as I am holy. Leviticus 11, sorry. Be holy as I am holy. Try and walk in my footsteps. We read the story about the footsteps. We read how the footsteps were there, only seen when we had trouble. Only seen when we got trouble. Well, personally, I'd rather not see them at all. Even when things are going well, I'd like to not see those footprints because I know that he's still there carrying me. He's still there carrying me. I learned a lot about I when the Lord took us to the mission field. I learned a lot. And I learned to fully trust him. Oh, yes, there were people going this way and this way and that way. And we came under attack. And we came under attack mainly for keeping our eye focused totally on him. And we came under focus in the church. Came under attack in the church for doing that. For keeping our eyes totally focused on him. And we got in trouble. But the one thing he did teach us very soon is to support each other, Penny and I, to support each other 100%. I stood by Penny and Penny stood by me, 100%. No question. And that's how we should be with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, supporting them 100%, no question. Focused totally on him to see us through this what to see us through this life. I learned that we are very weak in what we do. I learned we are very weak in what we know. We're very weak in our knowledge of him. Oh, yes, we can study him. But do we really know him? Do we really know what he wants in our lives, in my life? And as I said before, I learned a lot. And when that man said to her, to Mother Teresa at the end, it's taken me 30 years to understand the message. It takes us that long too. It can take us that long as well. And even though he taught us so much about leaving self and taking on him, it's soon forgotten when you don't have to rely on him so much. And I repent of that. I repent before you and before my God of not fully accepting all that I learnt and coming here back into the world and forgetting what I'd learnt. I've come to rely on my bank balance. I've come to rely on my house. I've come to rely on the things around me, knowing that he is really in control. Every breath we take is controlled by our Heavenly Father. Every breath. He could stop the breath just like that. Amen? And one day he will. There's only accountability to God. Nothing else. We need to focus totally and utterly on him. In Isaiah 55:1, it says, come without cost to the living waters. Come without cost. So simple. Why do we make it so complex? As a child today, they are taught that they are the most important people. My daughter Shari was told when she was a teenager that teenagers are the most important people in the world. Penny's question was, what happens when she's no longer a teenager? Is she no longer important? But children are today taught that they are the most important person in the world. But then that child becomes an adult. And the adult now believes that they are the most important person in the world. However, there's another child been growing up at the same time and has been taught that they're the most important person in the world. And then they get married together. And you got two people living in the same house who are thinking they're the most important people in the world. Yeah, right. It's going to last, isn't it? It's going to last. No wonder we have so much trouble in our society today. So much trouble. Our prisons are full. Our abortion clinics are full. Our courts are full. Everything is going wrong around us because we have been taught from a child that we are the most important person in the world. I assure you I wasn't. I wanted to be, but I assure you I wasn't. But this is what the trouble is today. We are only thinking of ourselves, and I am no exception. I am no exception. Luke 14:8 says, do not take the higher place that you are not entitled to. Do not take the higher place that you're not entitled to. I am the most important person in the world. I guess there's something, a little problem with that statement, because I think Yeshua is the most important person in the world. Nehemiah 9:5, do not exalt yourself, is basically what it's saying. Proverbs 25:6 and 7. He who lowers us to where God wants us, do not claim honor. Do not try and put yourself up where you should not be. And I got thinking to what Yeshua came to teach us. What did he come to teach us? I think it's humility. I think it was humility. I came to be a serve, not to serve. Be served, says the Lord. Even when he cried out to the Father, can this cup be taken from me? He didn't actually say, I don't want to do it. He just asked, was there another way? He put himself last in the situation. The problem is the I's, myself's, and me's, God is lost in translation. I think we've got to get back and focus on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I think we've got to just stop for 2 minutes and say, God, just reveal yourself a little bit more to me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. It was read that David gave us today in verse 22. It's also in chapter 22. It's also in chapter 1 of Revelation. I think again in chapter 17. Three times it's in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Have we ever thought, what is the beginning and what is the end? The beginning is when he gave us life in him, and the end is when we have full life in him. Amen. He rose and died and rose again. He rose where from? The heavens. He came to earth. The cross, oh, the cross, the wonderful cross. Have we ever stopped to think and stand in front of the cross? Just stand there. I was going to ring you up, Karen, to bring the cross along, and I forgot. You haven't got it anymore. The Father's love on that cross, the Father's love. Have we just stopped to think about that for a moment? We read about it. We're told about it. But have we actually stopped on our knees and thought about it? The love on the cross. Yeshua hanging there, bleeding, suffering, dying. Have we stopped for 2 minutes in front of that cross? I think the eyes would soon disappear. Love of neighbors. I didn't quite agree with what Mother Teresa said. What'd she say about love? It's not to have love, but to give love is what was important. Yes, to give love is important, but to feel love is also important. If a person doesn't feel love, well, we only have to read the papers to find out what happens. You've got young men and women in famous positions at the moment falling left, right, and center, obviously because they do not have the love of God in their lives. And they do not feel love, they feel used. They feel wanted, but not loved. There's a difference. And that's what I believe the Lord has instilled in us in this fellowship, that love. To reach out to each and every person. And it's that love that we should be focusing on. It's that love of God, the Father, who said to Yeshua, go. It's the love of Yeshua on the cross who said, yes, I will. And it's the love of the Holy Spirit who came and said, I will teach them. Where would we be today without the cross? Where would we be today without the cross? Just think about it for a moment. John 20:25, I was going to paraphrase it. Unless I touch the nail marks, can I understand what is to truly love? Unless I touch the nail marks, do I fully understand what it is to truly love? If I may, and somebody asked me last week something about scars, and I said, well, the scars are healed. The scars are healed. Wounds haven't, but scars have. And the scars on Yeshua's hands have healed, showing us we are healed. The nail marks is what shows his love. There's so many people are saying, unless I touch those marks and see them, I cannot truly believe. Yet there's so much wonder and power around us, we just we're blinded by eyes. The eye as in myself. Matthew 26:42, he's surrendering to his to the only way to see the love of God as it really is that through the cross. The only way to see the love of God, and this I believe is our focus, main focus of what the Lord has always put towards me in this fellowship, is trying to get closer and closer and closer to Him. We get close, and sometimes it's a little frightening, so we move away a little bit. Then we move back, then we move away. We think we can find it this way, we can find it that way. But there's only one way to find the true love of God, and that's to sit in front of the cross, see the marks of healed, and ask, Lord, come into my life. And ask Him to show you life. The Trinity of God hears, sees, knows, and helps all things. He hears our cries, He sees our problems, and He knows our problems. He helps in all things, the Trinity of God. He is there for you, me, and everybody else. This, I believe, was where our focus. Not in the I's, myself, or even the me's. Because as I said before, so many problems in this world because everybody's walking around with an I stuck above their heads. But you know, I was thinking too, if you take the capital letter I, it's got a base, hasn't it? And it's got a cross across the top of it. Agreed? So what we've got to do is lower that top bar down about a third on that upright. So it becomes a cross. So it becomes a cross. The Trinity of mankind, me, I, myself, sees nothing, hears nothing, knows nothing without Him. Amen? We have been told in recent times that we don't need the Holy Spirit to work out and understand the Scriptures. I'm sorry, but I only have one word for that. Rubbish. Sorry to be so blunt. We're told that we can get through life without Yeshua. We need a prop. We're weak. We cannot get through life without Him. Guess what? True. So true. Can you have got through where you have today without Him? We cannot get without Him. Yes, I need a prop. I need that strength. I need that understanding for what I have to do, what the Lord has called me to do. And God the Father hears this cry of our hearts. He sees our needs. He knows our needs and wants to help us in all things. If we'll only just sit down and trust Him. We learned to trust Him in the mission field. As I said before, I've forgotten some of that trust. I've forgotten some of it. We rely so much on the things around us that we can see, but what about the things we can't see? Again, look at this. I don't know when this happened. I haven't finished the article, but she was disabled. She could hardly see. She was crippled, obviously. Her parents died on a motorbike accident. She was looked after by grandparents until such times as she was, they couldn't look after her anymore. Then she went to foster homes. And the Lord spoke and healed her. Look at the trust she had in the Father in heaven. And all that. She didn't say, no, I don't want to know you, Father, because of God, because I've got all these problems. She accepted Him, even in her problems. Are we as strong as that little girl? I don't think so sometimes. We start to get aches and pains and problems, and we end up with aches and pains and problems instead of trusting the Lord. John 20:25 is the favorite verse of mine because it's the verse the Lord gave me the night I got on my knees and said, I am yours, Lord. It's the verse the Lord gave me. Surrendering to His will is not easy. Surrendering to His love is not easy. The surrendering to His knowledge is not easy. But surrender we must. and change the eyes into a cross. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your holy name. For God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for sending Yeshua to prepare the way for us to come into the kingdom. To prepare our lives as the bride to make herself ready, that we can be a witness to the power and love of you. May your name be glorified in our lives as we show your love, your understanding, your power. We follow you totally and utterly all the days of our lives. As we walk with you and we talk with you and we sing praises to you and we glorify your name in all our things that we do. May today be a newer day, an understanding day, to know that we need to sit in your presence and just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May your name be glorified through the cross. Amen.